Welcome to the Power User Podcast, where unprofessional podcasting sounds better. Well, it sounds like this, at least. Brought to you by neowin.net, wincustomized.com, and quartertothree.com. I'm your host, Kristen Hatcher, and joining me today is the nicest guy in the world, Derek Batting.
That was awful sweet of you to say.
Well, I didn't want you to give me the response that we had practiced before the show, so...
Yeah, I didn't think that would be appropriate.
No, probably not so much, so I thought I'd be nice to you. For once.
Thank you.
Yes. And Brad Wardell, back from saving the world. We told everybody how you were out in darkest Africa doing charity work. So welcome back.
I think it's safe to say I'm not the nicest person in the world.
Second nicest.
Yes.
Second nicest.
That's,
yeah.
Now that's charity.
I got number one. Brad can have number two.
I've been called number two a lot.
Oh, yes. Well, welcome back, Brad. We're glad to have you back on the show.
Glad you're here.
Joel Halsey cannot join with us this week because we...
He's out making the streets safe for women and children.
That's right. He's the one now that has gone on to darkest Africa and is doing whatever it is people do there.
I thought you said you had to work today.
Okay, well,
in
that too.
In Africa.
Okay. Charity work. Charity work.
The Lord's work.
Yes, exactly. We miss you, Joel. We'll have you back on the show next time. All right. You know, a few weeks ago, Brad and I went to San Francisco on a trip, and we were at the CNET building, and we found out while we were there that HP had been spying on CNET. You know, like this crazy kind of, what the, are we in a spy novel now, or what's going on?
What was it you kept saying, Brad? And for the edification of...
and for the edification of HP.
Right, as we're in the meeting, we're like, and if anybody from HP is listening, this is, you know. So they have actually settled. HP has settled to end the quote-unquote spy probe.
The long national nightmare is over.
Yes, exactly. They're paying out $14.5 million. I'm not exactly sure who that's going to, but it's going to somebody, some
I
lawyer.
I know it's not going to.
Yeah. The firm's chairman, HP's chairman, Patricia Dunn, at the time this all came to light, she immediately stood down. And to their credit, HP has actually been... You know, they have not been attempting to shred documents and cover up and all that stuff. They actually kind of went, oops.
We did it.
And...
Yeah, this just kind of got out of hand. And you know, you can almost imagine the scenario like, oh my God, what were we thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
What do we do? We fire Patricia. And then what? And then we say we did it and we'll get a smack on the wrist.
Hey,
and
good for
it'll
them.
All go away.
Probably the best thing, the best thing they could have done.
The smartest thing they could have done.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
I mean, why? You know, I mean, I'm sure I just can't even imagine. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in the middle of those boardroom meetings, you know? It's like, oh, God.
I can't even think of some big story or secret of HP's that got broadcast on CNET.
Right. No.
I can't think of any.
I think there were little things that were being leaked, and I don't know, maybe it's a very cutthroat world out there more than I ever thought possible, but I just...
I mean, Microsoft is the one that's always getting creamed by these
totally.
Things.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about? Mary Jo, if you're listening.
She's not.
No. She's not.
I thought we were Mary Jo supporters. Are we not?
We're Mary Jo supporters. Okay. But she's, you know, she's told
you call
me.
Call a spade a spade?
Yeah, she's told me some stories like where she's pretty much an outcast when she lived in Seattle.
Is that right?
Now she's back safely in New York.
Yes, where she can lose herself in the crowds.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the HP story. And the only reason I brought it up because we had reported it before and I wanted to follow up on it. And for any of you out there who run a company that may someday be involved in a scandal like that, we think this is the way you should handle it.
Brad.
Yeah. I prefer my attempts of covering up and rationalization. Thank you.
Yes, okay. You like the late night shredding sessions and things like that. What's this? Look, it's just a piece of junk.
Just
mail,
a receipt.
We're just going to shred it anyway because we
it
like
for?
Shredding.
Yeah.
I don't even have a shredder.
What receipt?
Yeah. We have a nice shredder in the office. What are you talking about?
I don't have one.
Why do you need one personally?
I don't know. I don't even know where the shredder is.
Something?
Did you have a shredder? You have a shredder. I've seen it.
It's not in my office anymore.
Oh, they took it away from
me. They took it away from me because I was shredding everything. So. Well, because, you know, I don't want those marketing plans to fall in the wrong hands.
Yeah, prayer is not a marketing plan.
It's not?
No.
Okay. So.
It's a business plan, but not marketing. Just
yes,
FYI.
Yes. Okay. Good to know. All right. CNET is also reporting. And this story is by Michael Canellos, and this is in the perspective section, so it's really his perspective. But I don't know if you guys knew this. You two probably did, but I don't know if any of our listeners knew it, that Apple is coming out with a new cell phone.
I had heard that.
Okay.
I'm not terribly excited. I'm not a big Apple.
I'm not sure anybody is.
I'm not one of those guys who's like, oh, Apple just put out a new insert product here. Right. I have to go get one.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm just not. I've never owned an iPod. I've never owned a Mac.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sure I don't think I ever owned anything Apple.
I'm sure there are plenty of people who would be happy to own the Apple cell phone, and it's probably a good cell phone.
Well, there are people out there who will buy anything that Apple puts out, literally.
But Michael Canellos at CNET brought up some excellent, excellent points. And in fact, I'm going to link this story so you can check it out yourself. But he was saying, you know, when Apple came out with the iPod, they were competing in a market that was ripe for something really new and innovative like they had with the iPod.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're coming into the cell phone market now.
Right.
And boy, cell phone competition is fierce. And there is already just cutting edge technology out there. So it's going to be a stiff competition.
One of the things that I think they're going to run into is that I don't want my music on my cell phone. I lose 2 or 3 phones a year, right?
Yeah. Right.
I can imagine a scenario where I lose my cell phone, which all my songs are on, and Apple's, their DRM isn't that nasty, but I know about authorizing stuff.
Right.
Now it's a big pain in the butt. Losing your cell phone suddenly becomes almost as big of a deal as losing your credit cards, where you're now I need to call up, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And or cell phone breaks or whatever. I mean, seriously, I my cell phones now are cheap because I'm constantly breaking or losing them.
Yes.
I'm probably a minority, but I'm probably closer to the target audience of someone who would buy a phone like this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. And it's, next time I get a phone, I'm getting the free one. Whatever one comes with the plan. When it's time for me to upgrade, I'm paying not more than $20 because there's just no point in it. Because I also break mine. We travel a lot, and I have the dropsies. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly. The throwsies.
Yeah, that too.
The cable repair guy last week brought in my cell phone. It was on the driveway. I mean,
awesome.
They fall out of my pocket. Yeah. They fall out of whatever, and it's like I'm not. So again, I don't understand why Apple seems to think that having music on your phone is somehow compelling. It is so not compelling.
Well, there are a lot of cell phones now that do double as MP3 players.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there are also cell phones that now have the ability to download your music right onto your cell phone, which doubles as an MP3 player. Mm-hmm. It's a whole system.
Sure.
You know, it's not just like, it's also an iPod kind of thing.
Which,
so there's a whole service built around that.
Which means that
iPod's not
bringing something new to the table.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
But it's not that compelling anyway. So mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen someone just sitting there listening to their cell phone. They either have their iPod or they don't.
No, right. And the biggest places that I like to use an MP3 player, one of them is on a plane, and you're not supposed to have your cell phone on the plane. So, right. I mean, I suppose there's ways around that, but, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that they're smart enough to make their UI so you have one, because they're going to have the batteries be separate.
Oh, that's good.
So that's one smart thing they're doing, is they're going to actually have, of course, on the other hand, you have two batteries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who needs it? So who knows though? I mean, it comes out and it's like the coolest thing ever. I mean, we made a lot of fun of the Wii, and now the Wii is out, and I can't wait to get my hands on one. So
that's true.
Well, his biggest argument is that at the time when the iPod came out, their competitors, it wasn't that new of a market, but their competitors were incompetent. Essentially,
yes.
They had these really crappy MP3 players, whereas the cell phone market's pretty mature. It has entrenched competition who get it.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent years and years trying to get this. Right, and the latest, the Razer, for example, is really good. And there's, I can't remember, sadly, I have it on the tip of my brain, but there's some really nice cell phones out there.
Yeah.
I'm still amazed, though, like a lot of the cell phones I'd like to get are just about there, but then they have like this cool screen, but they're not touch screen. Mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, but yeah. Still, generally speaking, yeah, it's a much more mature, sophisticated market.
Yes, generally speaking.
Yeah, this thing's going to have to, like, bring your groceries in from the car.
If it did that, I would buy it.
It's really going to have to be something.
I would so buy that.
Of course, like Michael says here, there will be a big buying boom. You know, mm-hmm. a few select people will go out and buy it just simply because it's an Apple product. It's mm-hmm. a new iPhone or whatever it does. Yep. And there will be a lot of evangelism around it. And then sales just kind of go, and it'll be done.
And we'll see. Yep. We will have to wait.
Well,
and
one
see.
Thing that I think, if I may, not that I am privy to anything secret at Apple, but I think part of this is that they really want to, they probably came into this backwards where they were saying, you know, the next iPod really needs to have, you know, super duper video capabilities that stream over the internet and with an Apple service where we can get video to it. And then, so how do we do that? Well, we do that as a 3G, da da da. And I realized at the end of the day, they're practically talking about a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like,
mm-hmm.
well, let's just make it a cell phone. Because if Apple markets this as, yes, it's a regular phone, but the real power of it is that it hooks into the iPod, the iTunes service for getting you videos and other content, mm-hmm. I think they may actually have something with that. Sure. But if the argument is, well, now you can play music on your phones, but we have a pretty, it looks pretty, that's just not going
to
cut
it. If they put out an iPod and said, oh, by the way, you can also make phone calls if you need to.
That would have been awesome.
Same thing.
No.
Is it just a matter of perception then? Is it an MP3 player that can make phone calls?
No, again, it's the same problem. People lose cell phones all the time. That's the key thing.
I think it's a matter of what's important to you, though, in your gadget, whatever the gadget may be. For Brad, this is not an important
thing. I have an iPod. I buy iPods and such. I know when I'm going to take it with me and when I'm not.
That's what I'm saying.
Whereas my cell phone, I feel compelled to have it with me all the time, which means I'm going to lose it or damage it or whatever. And it's,
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're not the target market for something like what Derek was describing, whereas there are people who would like to have music with them every moment of every day.
Sure.
So,
but those people might just have an iPod Shuffle in their pocket. I don't know if they'd want to connect it to their cell phone.
They might.
Right. Well, that's what we'll find out.
But there are already phones out there that do both.
Many,
so,
right. Yes.
Yeah.
Even that work with iTunes. We've even talked about them on the show.
Right.
We laughed at them.
I have no memory of that.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
You're drunk.
I was drunk. I usually am. Speaking of DRM, as we were just talking about, you know, downloading your music and if you lose your phone and blah, blah, blah. Beginning of the end for DRM. I'd say it's about dang time, if that's the case.
Please let it be so.
Yeah. IT Wire is reporting, and they are apparently an Australian website in general, but they are reporting that this could be, we could soon see, I don't want to say the end of DRM. They're saying the beginning of the end of DRM. I would hate to say the end of DRM, because that seems like a pretty broad statement, but record companies, music companies, I should say, are still having a problem, obviously, with piracy. Well, big shocker there. They thought that adding DRM, digital rights management, to each, you know, MP3 that was downloaded and each CD and everything would stop piracy. But in fact, as we have discussed on this show, it probably has made it worse because people do not want to deal with the DRM issues. They want to buy a song and own it. And put it on their
yeah, put it anywhere
player.
They want to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, right. I tell you, it is really frustrating. I always read on forums like, everyone pirates music. I take a little offense to that.
Yeah, because,
No, I'm on iTunes. I buy my songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've said this time and time again, right?
Yeah.
Right. You're one of those, I buy my stuff.
I buy my stuff. And the thing is that it really frustrates me, though, that I can't get those iTunes songs onto anything other than Apple devices. I have to sit around and wait for them to come out with a device so that I can stream it to my Xbox or to my other devices.
Yes.
That if I'm having a party, I have to kind of juggle. I have to kind of jump through some hoops if I want to play it on my stereo. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know there's lots of ways to do it.
There's lots of ways to do it, but
I can't just simply dump it onto a MP3 DVD, toss it into my into my stereo and just play it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all kinds of restrictions. Now, what the record companies seem to be going towards, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, is the assumption that everyone's a thief, and therefore we'll have the devices that play MP3s cost more.
Yeah.
And that's because that's actually one of the things Microsoft did with the Zune. I don't know if people know this, but the Zune actually costs more because they're paying a piece of it goes to the record, to the RIAA, on the assumption that, well, everyone pirates.
Yeah.
And, but.
Well, then again, with the Zune, they're like, yeah, we'll be able to share MP3s with anyone else who has a Zune. I'm sure the record company just went, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Give us a chunk of that and we'll turn a blind eye.
Well, I mean, they don't have any choice. It's not, you know, it's not Microsoft's. If Microsoft doesn't have to, they can't sue Microsoft for having a device that can share MP3s.
Right.
It's up to the individual, they, you know, to deal with that. But I just don't know how I feel about the thought of I'm going to have to pay extra. It depends on how much extra, but that I'm essentially subsidizing other people's dishonesty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which is not. Nobody wants to think that. Nobody wants to do that.
But on the other hand, if you get rid of DRM, that's a net, that certainly would increase my purchases. Because now, because right now, when I purchase things, it's kind of like on games. If they have DRM on the game, like CD copy protection, we've talked about this before, I only buy the game if I really want it. Otherwise, it's like, no, because I know I'm going to scratch up the CD or lose it in, you know, in 6 months or a year. I've already lost. I lost my Battlefield 2142.
Ryan has a problem. He loses things.
Well, it's one of those things. I have so many computers. Yes. I don't know where they are. They get stuffed under things. I'm really slobby about, you know, I don't have very much free time. So my work stuff's pretty organized, but my playtime stuff's all over.
Yeah.
And so it's the same thing on DRM. I go, oh boy, it's only a matter of time before, you know, since I can't play it on everything I want, I only buy things that I want. I won't take a chance. But if it's an MP3, I'd probably be more inclined to buy more marginal stuff.
Yeah.
You could buy pretty much anything you wanted to because you knew you could burn it to a CD, you could have it on your iPod, you could have it anywhere else, and it's not restricted by DRM. So
exactly. Convenience
matters. You know you can back it up or have it in multiple places at one time legally.
Right, exactly. A convenience matters a great deal to me. I mean, you know, the songs are 99 cents. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a cost issue. I could buy thousands and thousands of songs, but I'm not willing to pirate them. But if I can't play them, why should I bother to buy them?
Exactly.
What if they charged $1.99 per song for straight DRM-free MP3s?
I don't know. That's starting to get pretty expensive then.
Yeah.
Now you're doubling that. You've doubled the price.
Right.
And why would they charge more? Simply the same reason as the Zune costs more. You're subsidizing for people who
it's a matter of convenience as well.
Right.
You'll pay for that convenience if you really want it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the problem with that is that. Well, you're not really paying $1.99 for DRM-free Zune. In the device itself, you're going to pay an extra $30 when you buy the device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this article here from IT Wire, which we're going to link, says the message appears to be slowly getting through the management at music companies. EMI has started the ball rolling through its label Blue Note Records, making the track Thinking About You from its artist Nora Jones available as an MP3 download on Yahoo Music. It's likely to be the first leak in the wall of a dam that threatens to burst, and the response from Apple will be interesting to watch. Indeed, interesting.
Didn't we do a story?
Apple feels the need to change anything about what they're doing.
No, certainly not. Not yet, anyway. No. Not with 80% of the market.
I don't like the DRM people being. I mean, they're people steal music. I was at a. I'm not going. I don't know how many who from my family listens to this, but I was at Thanksgiving and almost all the teenage girls that were in my family were talking about what they were on LimeWire and all these other services, and they're stealing music. Would you go to the store and just pick up something off the shelf? I mean, what's your excuse? You could buy it.
Oh, Uncle Brad.
Yeah.
You're so old fuddy-duddy.
I know. And it's just that casual theft. But I'm just saying, the RIA has behaved so atrociously that I can't defend them. They're just such bastards. But that doesn't make the people who steal stuff somehow the rebel. They're not. It always pisses me off.
Not like Robin Hood, right? Where they're
exactly.
Steal from the rich, give to the poor.
Yeah, they're stealing from the rich to give to themselves.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, the poor.
Yeah, and it always pisses me off when you see these people acting like there is a moral principle behind piracy. It's like, give me a break.
Did I fight for that once?
I don't think so.
But I see it online every time on neilwin.net. Know who you are. and there's a story about RIA. You get these people who not only think piracy is not a problem, but they're taking a moral principle. Mm-hmm. It's a principled position.
They're defending it, yes.
Right, they're to steal from because they're helping the world. It's like, give me a break.
Well, and I've had people, and I think I said this maybe on a different show too. I had somebody say, well, you know, it's not the artists don't get that money anyway, and it's like, Right. So the person that you're, you know, who, I mean, who you're really hurting in the end, because the producers and the, you know, the money bags behind these record companies are going to make sure they get their cut.
Right.
So the person that you really are hurting is the artist, right? So, you know, A, they don't know who's supporting them. They don't know what, you know, we have a distorted vision of what's popular and what's not. So if we want to do market studies to find out, you know, what kinds of music do people really like, you know, we don't know.
Yeah. Britney Spears seems to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay. She seems to be doing okay. And you know what? I haven't seen it. You know, they go, they make all their money through concert tours. When was the last time Britney Spears did a concert tour?
I don't know. I mean,
a million years ago. It was like the dinosaurs. And is,
okay.
Well, I,
apparently, the Mickey Mouse Club clearly, came before dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. According to the Disney film. Anyway, no, but my point is that clearly the artists do get money from the sales of their records.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Clearly.
A little bit.
Yeah. There, not there enough is, for underwear, yeah. But some. Thank you.
There's been so much of that in the news lately.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Hey, I heard on the TV this morning that K-Fed's new album only sold 6,000 some odd copies in its first week.
He bought them.
So. He bought
them
all.
Him.
So he's not doing well.
Yeah, there's a justification for piracy there. But
if you want to try to put someone under,
music to begin with, so
yeah, don't download it, don't proliferate it, don't spread it around.
Yeah, really.
Let it die on the server.
All right, that is
that should
of
be
that.
Classified as spam.
Yeah, exactly.
That's mean. I haven't even heard it. It could be the best music.
It
ever.
Could be,
I'm
if
sure.
you're K-Fed.
I'll be happy when he's back in the trailer.
Oh, ouch. That hurt. I don't know why, but that just hurt me. Good news. More good news. The future is now. I just want you to know that. I've been waiting for
I've
this
always
news
wanted to say
all
that.
My life.
And now.
And now. So the newscotsman.com. I'm going to go visit this site more often, I got
to
tell you.
We have to link this one.
Yeah.
I love the Scotsman.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
it's,
you're being
Scottish.
Because
if it's not,
it's crap!
All right, so the title of this, and this isn't computer news, but I had to include it anyway. The title of this is, Man Will Be Able to Live on the Moon by the Year 2020, says NASA.
Huzzah.
Huzzah!
We can send Kevin Federline to the moon.
Soon it will be a penal colony, like in Robert Heinlein books.
You watch your mouth.
The moon is a harsh mistress. Okay, so
remember the end of that book, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, the whole asteroid and
yeah.
I'm going to be on the Earth and I don't like the end of that book. I don't plan to be on the moon 2020, okay?
Okay. All right. Okay. So, in a nutshell, I mean, this is a fairly long article, but in a nutshell, what NASA is saying is, and I cannot believe people listen to the scientists on this one. It's shocking. Finally, somebody listened to them. Apparently, scientists have for years, and I think we've heard this before, Brad. You might have heard it, Derek. Scientists have been saying for years, the only way humanity is going to survive is if we get the hell off this planet.
So we can go
I'm paraphrasing.
Mess up another one.
Right, but what we're essentially saying is we're screwing this one up. We're becoming vastly overpopulated for the amount of space there is. Mm-hmm. We've got to get off the planet. We got to get out there and colonize. Not to mention the fact that eventually we'll get hit by an asteroid and whatever is on the Earth will be
destroyed.
I've
always figured we'll get hit by a solar flare first.
That too.
Really?
That too.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I think that. I mean, it won't actually be like a ball of fire hits the Earth, but radiation levels enough to sterilize any large, you know, animals. I think that's what happened first. Not, you know, I guess we can set a Deadpool and see. Right? as the sky turning orange, I turn to Derek. I was right.
Yeah, I'm sizzling, reaching for my wallet.
Yeah.
Yay me.
That $5 just burns up in my hand.
Well, I think that's one of the theories behind the Precambrian extinction or whatever. Not this. That's one from like 300 million years ago, where nearly everything got wiped out. The dinosaurs got wiped out in an asteroid impact, but that was small potatoes. It was just because the dinosaurs are so sexy and interesting, right? Whereas who cares about the oh my god, I'm losing my brain. These something pods. you can correct me on our website, www.poweruserTV. What word is Brad trying to think of? It's something pods.
Arthropods?
Could be.
Okay.
Maybe not. Zotopods. But there was a type of animal that was very common before the Precambrian or Cambrian extinction or whatever, and it's dead. So kudos to you.
Were they
www.poweruserTV in the comments section? What word is Brad trying to think of?
Come on, you guys. You know you love to correct Brad.
Yes.
At every given turn. All right. So anyway, we're going to live on the moon is what I've been trying to get out to you. And we're going to live on the moon. That's really what the
article says. That's
really
not a surprise. How many times have I said bang zoom to you in one of these days and you're going to be on the moon?
Bang zoom to the moon. Well, you're right. First chance I get, which I have a feeling that just because somebody will be living on the moon by 2020 doesn't mean that it's going to be me.
14 years from now.
Yeah.
I'll zoom.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that nobody will be living on the moon in 2020.
I think you're probably right. I mean, it's very fancy.
I'm going to go against the grain.
They have no plans. They're not releasing any plans. They haven't released a budget.
No budget.
We have one space shuttle still functioning at this point.
Oh no, they're retiring all the shuttles and they have something new.
No. They aren't using anything right now, right? They have plans.
But no budget.
But no budget.
They can't even keep that. You know, they're trying to decide whether to keep the Hubble Space Telescope. Who are these rocket scientists that think that the only thing that seems to work from these guys is the Hubble Space Telescope. So they're like, oh, I think we're going to get rid of that.
It's true. Didn't that thing fall out of the sky? It's sad, but true.
Without that, I don't get any space porn.
That's why space porn. What? That's why.
If you add the word space in front of any word, it's funny.
You know, it is. I don't know if you guys watched the Colbert Report, but he had a new Tak Janssen adventure on last night, his animated cartoon. It's very funny. That's all I got to say. Space porn is what it comes down to, Brad. You would like it. So anyway, Stephen Colbert, kudos to you on the Tak Janssen Alpha Squad 7 adventures. All right. We're not going to be living on the moon by 2020 is Brad's take. I say we will be because that's what I want to believe.
See, now what we can do is go back to the exact same studio in California where they filmed it the first time and start putting tents out. And then, you know, here's our colony.
That's right.
Save billions. Fool everybody.
Yeah.
Again.
So do you think that we went to the moon?
I do. Yeah. I really do. Yeah, I'm not
I do
into
too,
the whole conspiracy actually. Thing. You know?
Yeah. Brad? Special effects were too good to not.
So, all right. Well, from the moon to spam.
Spam is something
certain. We don't know about the moon, but we know about spam. And what we know about spam is that it's going to get worse in 2007.
You know, it has gotten so bad. Now, we all get a lot of spam here, right? Mm. And we implemented the Barracuda Firewall.
Right.
Uh-huh. And you probably go, wow, we paid thousands of dollars and we still get a ton of spam. But if you look at its logs, like it blocks out like 98% of the email we're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good times right there.
So even if all the massive spam we get now, it's blocking out 98% of the spam we're getting. That's how bad our email accounts would be.
Yes, and I don't want to consider it because my email address or one of them is out on the internet everywhere, and it all comes right into my inbox because they're just redirects.
I'm thinking about creating a new email account for myself that I just because even my private email account is
jerk@stardock.com.
Thanks a lot, Kristen. Now it's going to be on there.
I'm not going to use that one now. Yeah.
That one doesn't exist.
Not the jerk at Stardock.
Actually, it started with an A.
But
it's like jerk.
A jerk.
A jerk.
Yes, something like that.
A anonymous jerk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was just thinking with that past story, just real quick, with a company with a name like Stardock, shouldn't we be sponsoring something like that?
Yes.
Have our name in space?
We should. We should. Brad?
They're taking... All right, never mind.
Well, I generally believe in being part of the problem rather than being a part of the solution. This is one case that I don't want to be caught being part of the problem.
Okay. Good to know. All right.
Anything else
you want to add about the spam story other than it's getting worse?
It's getting worse.
That's it, huh?
It's getting worse.
That's all we got.
Spam volume's up 73% in the last 3 months. Up.
In other words, well, you know, our listeners are generally power users, so they probably know not to open spam. you know.
No, it's not just that. Like it's just that we're getting it. It just clogs up the email. It and does. I just can't, I can't imagine put some poor guy who, or some company that doesn't even have, because I know how much stuff we have on our thing and we still get a ton of spam.
Right.
Mm. Imagine some less computer, you know, someone that isn't a computer software company, what they've probably got going.
Yeah. You know, I hadn't checked my home email address in about a week and I finally went and checked it and I had 26 pages of emails and they were based on the way my thing is set up. And I don't know, it's maybe 200 emails, which isn't that much for a week. But I had like three actual emails. The rest were all spam.
Well, my Hotmail account, which I've never given out to anybody. Yeah. I mean, I know I only used it for private correspondence. Mm-hmm. And I gave up on it. It's so, I can't, cause every time I go, I don't check it every day, but every few days I'd go to it. And it would be just the entire page would be full of spam.
For anybody listening,
they supposedly have an anti-spam filter.
Right.
Yeah, supposedly. For anybody listening, if you have ever tried to email Brad, don't do that anymore because he will never get back to you. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah,
he can't.
This is a general apology to all people who have ever tried to email me. It takes a long time. I've missed lots of good stuff because it just takes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I average on my B Wardell account.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter now.
No, it doesn't matter now.
Probably somewhere between 1,200 and 1,800 email a day. That's what gets through Barracuda.
Gets through Barracuda.
Right.
Yeah.
And some of that is technically work, you know.
Yeah, about half of it is spam, and the other half is probably legitimate to some varying degree.
But how do you go through that
many?
That
doesn't count email lists.
Yeah. How do you go through that many email a day? You don't.
I don't.
You
just
don't.
I just don't. I just miss them.
You just miss them. That's right.
So instead of emailing him, calling directly on his cell phone, the number is 414-555.
Stop that.
Sorry.
All right.